Hello and welcome to another edition of Defending the Den. I am your host, Scotty Waz. How are you folks doing tonight? Today, whenever you listen, hope you guys are well. How is it May already? My goodness, we've only have a few scant weeks left in the hockey season, and the Black Bears will be moving on to play more hockey, as we will talk about here. When we last left you, Black Bears took two games against New Jersey at home at Piney Orchard, and they went into New Jersey in the best of five series, looking to close it out Friday night. And Friday night, they had themselves a great showing up in Middletown, New Jersey. Started off very quick with a power play goal by Dmitry Kieber, a nice little drop pass by Luke Janis. 2:32 into the game in general. Janis drops it back to Dmitry Kieber. Kieber rips one home, and it's in the net. Black Bears up 1-0. Kieber with Luke Janis on the assist. Jesse Horacek getting the secondary. Black Bears up 1-0. And really, again, 5-on-5, the Black Bears really could not be touched in that first frame. They were controlling the play, making sure the offensive side of things, they were getting plenty of chances. Down the other end, Owen Lipak, when called upon, stood tall, only faced five shots in the first period, but stomped them all 1-0 after one period of play. Maryland 13 shots in the first and only had one power play, the first power play, which resulted in that goal. So only a minute and six of power play time that they had. So all that rest of that time, even strength, and the Black Bears controlling the play. New Jersey jumped back into it a little bit in the second, trying to get their legs about them in a big way. But before they could strike, Luke Janis gets a nice little strike on the board. He redirected a Jeremy Tremblay shot, and it dropped right at his feet. Nice little backhand roof job, knocking the water bottle off the top of the net, jarring it a little for the 2-0 goal. Janis getting on the board. Tremblay with the assist. Cal Houston with the assist as well. The NAHL, unfortunately, does not have the playoff games and the playoff stats separated from the regular season stats. They're going full NCAA mode on this one, so it's hard to tell difference between the two, but I'm sure they will hack that out sooner rather than later. But the Black Bears up 2-0 at this point. But then New Jersey starts to turn the tide a little bit, and that's thanks to some power plays, including one with under with 6 minutes remaining. And Owen Lipak was the story of the PK, making a bevy of remarkable saves, kicking the pad out, making sure nothing got through him, somehow making a big save without his stick in a time where two Black Bear players didn't have a stick. Lipak didn't have a stick. And then away he goes, makes a big pad save there to keep it out. Defense clearing the zone when called upon, and it is 2-0 after the second intermission. New Jersey was but towards the end of the frame, they were starting to pick up momentum. They were starting to have that pace of play. After that last power play, they really started to pick it up 5-on-5. You can kind of tell something was brewing in 45 seconds in the third. It done brewed as Dominic Barteco rips one home to make it a 2-1 game, cutting the lead in half. But Maryland still holding steady, holding through the barrage that New Jersey was trying to throw at their net. And Owen Lipak and the defense kept strong, stayed strong, and did not allow another goal. Dmitry Kieber sandwiched the game, 17 seconds left, finds the open net, and pots it home to make it a 3-1 scoreline. Sam Stitz, Trace Johnson getting the assist on that goal, and that's all she wrote in this one. 3-1 the final, a sweep of New Jersey in the divisional semifinal. A huge, huge game for the Black Bears. Owen Lipak makes 27 saves in the victory. Dmitry Kieber, two goals. Sam Stitz with an assist. Luke Janis, a goal and an assist. A solid game all around for the Black Bears as they move on to their third divisional final in the last four seasons. And they will play the same team that they've played in those last three divisional finals, the Maine Nordiques, as they won in five games over Rochester. And this is a situation where the Black Bears have not seen Maine since January, as these two teams only faced off two weekends against each other, one up in Maine that the Black Bears dropped one and lost one in overtime. So technically dropped two, and then they swept Maine in January, right off the hop of the second half of the season. So these two teams pretty much clash class of the East Division over the last few years. And yeah, the we talk about an even matchup against New Jersey. We'll probably have that same even matchup against Maine. These two teams match up very well against each other. So we will have to see what comes out of it. Should be a good one. The games have been decided. It will be Friday and Saturday this week, the 3rd and 4th at Piney Orchard. Yeah, 7 o'clock start time Friday, 6:30 on Saturday. And then a week off, and then a Tomomansky 3-3 if necessary. Game 3 next Friday, the 10th. Game 4 if necessary, the 11th. Game 5, those two games are in Maine. And Game 5, if necessary, on the 12th back in Maryland. A 10-hour drive back to the old line state should necessary. And then, of course, the winner of that goes to represent the East Division in Blaine, Minnesota, at the Robertson Cup. So it should be an interesting scenario. Tickets.MarylandBlackBears.com to get your tickets for Friday and Saturday's affair. Should be a great vibe in the house. It was for games 1 and 2 against New Jersey. I'm sure with the implications higher, the vibes should be right as well for these the divisional final as well. So tickets.MarylandBlackBears.com Friday, Saturday. By the time you hear this, who knows if there's going to be a lot on the line, if there's going to be anything on sale. Go get it. Be dialing to get yourself some tickets for some great hockey action as the Black Bears look to hang another banner. But again, they will have a tough task ahead of them in Maine. So should be an interesting scenario. Come on out. Come along down to Piney Orchard, and get yourself in on the ground floor. Interview time. And we start off with head coach Clint Millamock, who talks about his team's play over the three-game series in against New Jersey. Talks about the special teams play and then what to look forward to against Maine.
Head coach Clint Millamock joining me right now. And coach, a big three-game sweep of New Jersey to start off your playoff run there. What was your assessment of the team out of those three games?
The stronger every game. We had a bit of a break, which is always sometimes tough to play the first one. But the good news is we found a way the first one to get it done. And I thought we just got better and better as the series went on. And especially game three, I thought our game was like more recognizable in terms of what we're trying to be as a team. And I thought our guys were good. I think early on in the first, period of that game three, I just looked at our coaches and like our guys came to play. They could tell just with their physicality, puck movement, like they were sharp. There was no soft plays, and I thought they were dialed in. So a testament to our leadership group to have guys ready,
especially against the team that you guys were so even against in the year. And it started off the Friday night game. Game one had a little bit of penalty issues. What did you kind of do to adjust and try to make sure that everything was on the up and up, because the PK kind of had a little not a great game on game one?
Yeah, the first game was just that's usually timing or just over anxious and overextending, and we made a couple tweaks and changes to our PK and really focused on it a little bit more just to remind guys of what our PK is and where to be, where to stand and all that. And, I just thought that might've helped a little bit, but also just being in sync, being in rhythm, like special teams is tough when you take some time off. And our power play did a good job, and our PK after the first game, I thought was great. I think they scored one more power play goal after that, and that was off like a double deflection. So other than that, I thought our PK was great, especially game three. I thought they had a tough time getting set up other than the one time where the guy was running around and Leapak made some save. I don't know how without his stick.
You look at the team that you're facing now in Maine, third time in the last 4 years, you guys faced off for a bid to Blaine, and you've only seen them four times this year, once up there, one weekend up there, one weekend down there. How does that go into terms of, I guess, with everyone changing and the rosters changing a little bit here and there in terms of scouting and everything like that?
Yeah, they didn't make many changes. They brought Zion Green back out of BC, who we're familiar with from a couple years ago, and but they didn't really make many changes. So play the same, watch them on video, and they look the same to me in terms of what their strategies are, the pace they want to play at, how they want to get up ice. So to me, it's going to come down to what it usually does, which is who plays their game the best and who's dialed in and can impose their will or their style of play on the other team and make them have to adjust. And that's not going to change probably at any level.
You have a couple guys from last year in the same spot again this year. How has their voices been uplifted through this whole playoff run?
They've been there. Like, there's never panic. I think they're just calm. Like, they're a calming influence. I have not heard our guys get fired up. And we've had some guys this year where you're like, hey, let's relax a little bit. Some older players maybe. And I haven't heard it in the playoffs. I'm really proud of how they've just focused on, like, what the coach's message is, and they're facilitating it on the bench. So I'm assuming they're doing that in the room when we're not there. And the voices have been good. The coaches, this time of year, it's minimal pushing and prodding. It's more tactical for coaches, I think, because we've done all the pushing and prodding to get us to this point. Now it's always kind of what are you guys going to do come playoff time as a group, and how much have you learned, how much can you apply, and can you adjust on the fly as well with all the things we've done. So we've tried to prepare them all year for everything they're going to see, and I think our leadership group has just done a good job, not just like with positive messages, but also what we're doing on the ice. Like, that's when you know your guys are bought in, when they're talking hockey on the bench and not like, you know, the buzzwords. Hey, we got to compete harder. We got to do this. And they're talking, hey, F1 should be here. Hey, do this, do that. So that's where it's more fun as a coach, to know your guys are prepared. And we always say we need to compete. That's a given. But the other stuff, the intangibles, are important. And leadership is important. And I think, you know, they're doing a good job. You can ask the young guys you're interviewing later what it's like because they're in that room. But our older guys, no panic. Just we've been here before and we know what we need to do. And they've done a good job leading the way.
Head coach Clint Millock.
Next up, Evan Sofakidis, defenseman for the Black Bears, talks about his offensive output, especially in Game 1 for the Black Bears, and just the leadership in the room, the veteran leadership, what that means and how that's kind of progressed for him in terms of being one of the younger guys on the team in this playoff situation.
Black Bears defenseman Evan Sofakidis joining me right now. And Evan, a big win for you guys, a big series win to start off the playoffs. What was your assessment of the team's play over those three games?
Yeah, I think it was dialed the whole way through. We got it done. It's good to get it done early too.
And you especially in Game 2 had a nice little assist in Games 1 and 2, getting more offensive. Was that more something that the coaches kind of let you go, or did you read the play and go into it?
I mean, I think most of the offensive came from Game 1, and we were down, so we needed it. So I think it just kind of happened, and glad it did, for sure.
Getting into this situation as a younger player like that, did you went through a whole season like this, but does the playoffs kind of elevate the game of everyone else around you? Did you have to elevate your game to counteract that?
I feel like it's been more dialed and more, especially like in practice, I feel like talking has been up, and I feel like it was, I guess, more intense, but I haven't seen that drastically of a difference, at least in the first round, but I'm sure it'll get tougher and tougher as we keep going.
I'm sure you'd like to have that the veteran presence in the room, a lot of guys who were here from last year's team trying to guide you. How has the voice of the veteran leadership helped guide you guys?
Yeah, we've been good. We've been all fine. We've been fine. Good team. Yeah, good leadership.
When you look ahead now to Maine, you guys haven't seen them much. You only had one weekend up there and one weekend down here. What's been the big message for you guys going into this final?
I mean, we just figured out last night we were playing them, we do a little video on them. We'll learn what to do. And I'll just play the same way, play our way, play tough, play simple.
I'm sure this time of year you don't want to get away from that either,
yeah,
right?
Just play your game.
All right, excellent, Evan Sofakidis.
And finally, Owen Lepak joining the show to talk a little bit about his first three games of the playoffs. Again, talking about the veteran leadership in the room. As well as what to look forward to and what the mentality is going forward for this final series.
Owen Lepak of the Maryland Black Bears joining me right now. And Owen, what a big three-game set for you guys. Overall, what did you see from the team out in front of you?
I think we were, like, pretty consistent, you know, like, team was solid and good defense, and I think we just got it done quick, so it was nice.
Game 3, you had a heck of a game yourself, kind of just almost going unconscious to stop everything less one. What was your game plan going into that? Was it just, you know, you need to, did you see the puck a lot better out there in Middletown?
Yeah, honestly, I think I felt like the worst out of the games in the third game, like, to start, but just kind of, like, brought it back and just kept going, battled through it. But, yeah, I think it was good. The team played pretty good, so.
From your end, being a goaltender, obviously the method stays the same, stop the puck, but do you feel the intensity around you now from the regular season into the playoffs?
I think it's a little different, but, like, kind of like I try to play every game the same way. So I think in a way it's just like another game. So just trying to stay like that.
Your veteran leadership has been here. They've been in this situation before. A lot of guys who went to Blaine last year are still back on the team. How does that help you in terms of getting, I guess, a little bit of guidance in terms of how to control your emotions and everything like that going into this East Final?
Yeah, no, I think it's great. Like, just seeing them, how they handle things, it's like you want to be like that. Like, guys like Dima and Jess, like, great guys on and off the ice. They keep us going, keep us disciplined. So I think it's really important for sure.
Now you guys go into the main, you haven't seen them much this year, but obviously I'm sure the message is the same, keep playing your game and everything like that. Is that how the practice has been run so far, and early in this week so far?
Yeah, no, exactly. Just keep playing how we're playing, and like I feel like we haven't faced much diversity yet, so I think it's gonna come at some point. We just gotta be ready to fight back. So yeah.
Owen Lepak of the Maryland Black Bears.
Thanks to Clint, Evan, and Owen for taking time out and joining me here. Thanks to Chris and Jess of the Black Bears, as always, for allowing me the space and the time and the access and all the other fun stuff to get this passed along to you. Videos up on YouTube as well. You should check the interview thread feed on Defending Den MBB on Twitter. And yeah, should be a whole lot of fun. One bit of alumni news, as Cal Essenmacher has made his college commitment to the Liberty University Flames in the ACHA Division I, a pretty decent powerhouse school in Division I. Liberty has top-notch facilities out there. Say what you will about their about the school in general, but the hockey program gets treated very well out there. So a nice fit for Essenmacher, who played for the Black Bears last season in 22-23. With 6 goals and 9 assists in 48 games. Played 3 games to start off the season this year, but then moved over to the Mercer Chiefs in the NCDC and racked up 36 points in 46 games for them, as well as the Brentwood, Tennessee native, making strides and advancing his career, which is awesome to see in college hockey. So congrats to him in his commitment. And hopefully we will see a fair amount of coming from him in the next few years at Liberty University. That's it. That is all. Thank you all for listening. A little bit of a short one this week. I mean, we only had one game to talk about. A few interviews here and there. But exciting times coming up as the Black Bears take on the Maine Nordiques in the East Division Final. Again, starts Friday, this Friday, May 3rd. 7 p.m. May 4th, Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Tickets.MarylandBlackBears.com. Come on out and cheer your Black Bears on. Give them that energy boost. Make them ready. Get them a little nice little extra push out there for these first two games. If you can't make it, but for one reason or another, understand. I understand. Go to NHLTV.com and you can check out the wonderful tones of Alex Vitano to call the game for you and have yourself a fun time at home. Make a 2 nights out of it. It'll be a good time for everybody. So, yeah, that's it. That's all. I'm Scotty Wallace. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been Defending the Den, part of the Faceoff Hockey Show Media faction and podcast monsters. Check us out on the Twitter, Defending Den MBB, and ClutchingCrabHockey.com has game reviews and stuff like that there. So check that out. But until next week, we'll talk about the first two games next week and kind of go on from there. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, stay happy. Talk to you next week. Peace.